everyone. I'm Jensine Bard, and welcome to Testimony, where truth is told, lives are changed, and hope is given. Revelation 12:11 tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, a testimony of your story for His glory. Abused at the hands of the very people who should have loved and protected her, my next guest details the horrific accounts of that abuse in a memoir that launched a nationwide outcry in the Muslim world and here in the U.S. Animal sacrifices, bondage, beatings, humiliations, the verbal, mental, and physical abuse is hard to fathom, as recounted in her riveting story, I Dreamed Freedom. In a culture where being a woman is a curse all its own, and a religion whose ideology of death is just that, death to the soul, mind, body, and spirit, how much was she expected to take? And how did she escape what could have been a literal death had she not? Here to tell her incredible story in a testimony rare exclusive is author, speaker, evangelist, TV host, producer, and founder of Isaac Abla Ministries. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome, an honor indeed, Isaac Abla. Isaac, welcome to Testimony.
Thank you. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Well, it's an honor to have you. We met at a couple of media functions, and your countenance, Isaac, dispels any of what anyone would believe you suffered, the horrors you recount in your book. So for part one of our two-part conversation today, would you begin to share with our listeners your early beginnings and how you, as a Muslim woman born in Turkey, came to faith in Jesus Christ? Isaac, please tell us your story.
Thank you. It is all glory to God, and it is a miracle of God, of course. I was born and raised in a Muslim home, devout Muslim home in Istanbul, Turkey. And my father was a businessman, he was an economist, and he was a womanizer. And my mother used to have nervous breakdowns. She was always, I remember her in depression, and she was always on antidepressants, and lived most of her life like a vegetable. And there were times that she was maybe not medicated or going through nervous breakdowns. She used to become physically, verbally very abusive towards me. So I grew up under a lot of physical, mental, emotional abuse. And I was very accustomed hearing that I was stupid, I was ugly, I was not good for anything. And that made me become a bitter, very angry inside, rejected, unloved, worthless, and hopeless person as a little girl. And I turned to Allah to find answers. And He was the only God in a Muslim country that was presented to me at that time. So I started going to mosques. At age 5, 7, I was memorizing Quran, fasting during the month of Ramadan. I was on fire for my God at that time, but I could not find answers because He was very impersonal, and I had no personal relationship with Him. I only knew about Him as an angry, mean, cruel God through Quran, and it did not help, of course. So then I started going to Quran course to learn more about Allah, and I went to college. First of all, I was inferior to men by birth because I was a girl. And for me, even going to college was a miracle. I really wanted to prove my family I was, as a girl, I was not stupid. But nobody cared. I went to college, and I went to college at age 16, graduated at age 19. And I studied literature, and mostly it was Islamic literature. And there I met a Muslim man. We got married. He was my perfect match. He was a very, very devout Muslim. His family was very radical. They were part of jihad. And so I thought that, wow, this is my match. He believes in jihad. I believed in jihad. When I was 12 years old, I used to pray that I would die or kill in the name of Allah. How radical I was back then. And now it is hard to believe, but after we got married, he started beating me up every other day, almost every day sometimes, and he was very, very abusive. And I, that time I became very, very depressed. I was in intense depression, and I didn't know where to turn. I started just climbing the career ladders because I became a workaholic. I just wanted to run away from home. And I started working so hard, going to school. He was not working, and his family was supporting jihad, so I was, through him, supporting jihad at that time. And just giving money and shoveling money to jihad. And it became a life and a death situation for me, that one day he wanted to throw me from the balcony of a high building. And that was the night I decided that I had to run away. When it became a life and a death situation, at that time I was working at a very high rank at a company, and I obtained a tourist visa to America, and it was my dream to find freedom in America. So I escaped with a attorney friend. I had an attorney girlfriend who was a brilliant attorney, and I was her first case. And she really wanted to help me when I told her what was happening, how much abuse I was enduring. And because of her help, of course, God planned everything all out at that time. I was able to escape to America for my freedom.
Amen and amen, which goes to show, as the scripture teaches, God makes the way where there seems to be no way. He certainly did that in your case, Isaac. And now I want to touch upon something no child should ever have to witness, as detailed in your book, I Dreamed Freedom. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Isaac Abla. Isaac, you as a child witnessed your mother having an abortion. It was horrific.
Yes.
And she said to
yes.
you that she has more than two children. She really had 12. And this traumatized you as a child. You felt it was your fault because of the way you were brought up,
yes.
your father beat you up, your mother was verbally abusive. You escaped mm-hmm. into an imaginary world where you would try to read the stories of people mm-hmm. on their faces. So you were not only ostracized at home, but at school, by your classmates, anywhere mm-hmm. someone could be ostracized, you were. I see this as a work of the enemy to try and take your life out at a very
That's
early
right.
age, and I find it remarkable that you had the chutzpah, and you're not Jewish, you come from a Muslim background, and I'm not either, to have the courage to escape and to want a better life. To me, this is nothing short of miraculous all on mm-hmm. its own. So fast forward, you get to America, and you meet another man, the first one that tells you, quote, you're beautiful, but what happened?
Well, first man that tells me I was beautiful when I came to America, I got married to him after probably 2-3 months being in the States. And he wanted to marry me, and he thought that I was the most innocent thing he had ever met. And he really showed me a lot of attention that I needed. I never had anybody paying attention to me. I was nobody. I was always a shadow as a Muslim woman in Turkey. So we got married, and this was my second marriage. First of all, I came to a free country, but I came to a free country as a Muslim woman. So it doesn't matter, wherever you go, there you are. We can change everything, including our countries, but nothing will change at the end, because we need the inner healing. We need change inside. And I was the same person when I came to America as I was in Turkey. I believed I could not live or breathe without a man. I needed a man to tell me what to eat, what to wear, what to do with my life. I was highly educated, but I had Muslim person mentality. I was nothing without a man. So when I came to the States, I felt very lonely, and then I met that man who was also a drug abuser, and he really thought that he could change his life by marrying me as well, and we got married. And this time another type of abuse started. It was just a pattern in my life, abuse, you know, or I had a little sign, come and abuse me, that I could not get out of that circle until, of course, I met Christ. And then on the day, it was New Year Eve, year 2000, and he came home high and drunk. We had a little girl. She was at that time 2.5, 3 years old. And he put us in a car and he started driving from Miami to Homestead. On the highway, he was making zigzags. He was very high. And we started getting into an argument because I wanted to drive the car. And he didn't let me drive the car. And he stopped the car, kicked me out of the car on highway, and he left. Wow. And I didn't know where I was. I was just crying and I was screaming at God. I didn't know which God I was talking, but I was asking him, why me? What have I done so bad to deserve this?
Right.
And soon after, a car stopped, and I even prayed in my heart that it was a woman. I mean, it was Miami in New Year's Eve at night. If it was a man, I thought to myself, he was going to kill me, rob me, or rape me. And I prayed, I said, I pray that this is a woman, and it was a woman. She said, I will help you. God sent me to pick you up. Come in.
And this woman was a Christian woman. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to Isaac Abla, author, evangelist, TV host, and producer of the highly acclaimed TV broadcast Embracing New Life and live call-in program The Way, the Truth, and the Life, heard by millions around the world and here in the United States. You can learn more about Isaac's work, mission, and ministry, and get her book, I Dreamed Freedom, by going to Amazon.com or IsaacAbla.com and join the revival to be held March 11th through 12th at the Armenian Brotherhood Bible Church in Pasadena, California. For information and tickets, call 626-794-8717. That's 626-794-8717. You will be glad you did. Isaac, it has been an absolute joy speaking with you today. The power of your testimony to truly set one free as you have been set free is what the testimony broadcast is all about. Revelation 12:11. You are proof of this very scripture and example to all women everywhere that being abused is not a death sentence, but life and peace and honor through Jesus Christ. Thank you. God bless you and protect you.
Thank you.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensen Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensenebard.com. That's one word, JensenBard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensen Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony. Last week, you heard the incredible and true story of horrific abuse experienced by Muslim women, and my next guest in particular, as recounted in her riveting I Dreamed Freedom, a book written in 2008 that sent shockwaves throughout the Middle East and the Muslim community from which my next guest had lived. It's the story of a little girl that dreamed of freedom from her abusive past, her parents, her husbands, and the daily tragedies that surrounded her life. A childhood scarred with deep rejection, verbal assaults, mental, emotional, and physical abuse. And now, through the saving grace of Jesus Christ, Isaac Abla now shares what set her free and the hope that there is no hell too deep that Jesus cannot reach and no wound inflicted that Jesus cannot heal. Ladies and gentlemen, would you welcome back to Testimony, a wonderful honor indeed, author, speaker, evangelist, TV host and producer, and founder of Isaac Abla Ministries, Isaac Abla. Isaac, welcome back to Testimony.
Thank you so much. It's so good to be with you again.
Well, it's so great to have you back. Isaac, through your live call-in television shows, ministry outreaches, and revival conferences, your ministry and the need for it has reached epic proportions, and I would like to recount that for our listeners in part before we begin. 500 million reached throughout the Muslim world, 250 million on social media alone, with a following of over 1.7 million on Facebook, and 3.5 million daily hits from Turkey, Iran, Iraq, Indonesia, Pakistan, Egypt, Yemen, India, and the U.S., and in multiple languages, Turkish, Arabic, Farsi, Urdu, Indonesian, French, English, and others. Isaac, did you ever dream God would use you in such an extraordinary way? And what, in your view, has made this possible, practically and spiritually? Isaac, tell us more.
Well, I never dreamed of God could use me anyway. I was a voiceless Muslim woman. I had no voice. But God had different plans for my life. And He had different plans for the lives of many other Muslim women and men, because He loves them and He wanted to set them free. And this was planned a long time ago. And I'm just part of His plan, I believe. My book is I Dream Freedom. I did dream freedom when I was a little girl, and I dreamed freedom when I was a woman. When I was under intense abuse, I dreamed freedom. And now I am dreaming freedom for all Muslim nations.
Amen and amen. In your book, you recount how you came to faith in Jesus Christ, and God used a man by the name of Rudy, who you thought was successful, a millionaire, multi-million-dollar company. How could he understand your plight? What does he know of what you've suffered? And you found out what?
Well, I find out that Jesus was this man's Lord, and He was the center of his life. And this man, who was my boss, he would not stop talking about Jesus. He was very imperfect. And in many ways, and he would always bring it up, the only good thing in him was Jesus Christ. And it started getting my attention. My life was a mess. I was 28 years old, divorced twice. I had one tragedy after another tragedy in my life. So I was in complete darkness. And this man was being the light to me, being the light of Jesus Christ to me, just like in the scripture. So we are light to the world, we are salt to the world, and he was. And one morning I woke up and I didn't want to live anymore, because I said to myself, life is not worth living. And I failed. And that day I started thinking and contemplating my suicide, and I took my little girl, my daughter, to daycare. I went to work and I started thinking how to kill myself. Then he called me to his office. I was just telling God, why you hate me? Why you hate me so much? Okay, you win. I'm going to kill myself. And this man invited me to his office, and then he told me, please close the door. I am going to tell you something I have never done before. And God revealed him everything that I was going to do. And he told me that Jesus never forsaken me nor abandoned me. He was there for me through the pain that I was facing, I was experiencing. He was there for me when I was a little girl. Jesus was interceding on my behalf when I was intensely abused and hurt. And then he told me that that same Jesus wanted to be the center of my life. And I could not resist it because I felt the presence of God in his office. Immediately said yes. And that was it. I surrendered my life to Jesus and I was just weeping and weeping and weeping. And at that moment I felt like tons of weight was lifted off my shoulders. And I felt new. I felt brand new. Grass looked greener and sky looked blue. First time in my life I felt like, wow, I am alive. I am living right now before I was dead.
Wow. And I just want to let our listeners know that in your book, I Dreamed Freedom, you recount suffering depression and that many women today don't even know they are suffering from depression, from suicidal thoughts. Your own mother told you that she had been depressed for over 55 years and no help. And you become the mother to your mother. You escape to freedom into this country. And for the first time in your life, Isaac, someone who really knows Christ is treating you with honor, with respect. You were told you were stupid and an idiot your whole entire life, but you're very smart, brilliant, in fact, the CEO and CFO of international companies that you headed in Europe, television producer, author, speaker. God knew the gifts that he put in you, and Satan also knew, which is why he tried to get you to take your life at an early age. I want to fast forward a little bit. In your book, you got a knock on the door, and it was a group of Muslim women that were desperate for help. They asked you as a young Christian, pray. You hardly knew who to pray to. You were a young Christian.
Yes.
And yet, I want our listeners to hear the power of the Holy Spirit is in Jesus Christ, not in us. Can you elaborate?
Well, I had a lot of knocks on the door at that time, and one of the ones that I was I wrote in my book that these Muslim women that they were knocking, they were desperate, and they heard about my testimony and how God changed me, and they had no place to go, and I have to be honest here, I had no faith to pray over someone to get healed. I didn't. I was not there yet. Right. I mean, I was just above the water, learning to survive, and Jesus was holding my hand. And I wanted to be obedient. I just said, be healed in Jesus' name. It was a very casual prayer, but I wanted to be obedient to the Lord. And I knew that I was not the one going to heal this woman. And as soon as I prayed, I mean, this woman was like so overjoyed because received healing, and I was in shock that through, you know, I prayed and this woman got healed.
What did that say to you as a young Christian?
There are so many lessons to be learned from this. First of all, it's not about me. It's about all the miracles, all the healing, everything is going to take place because of the name of Jesus Christ. He is able, and he is the author and perfecter of our faith. He can do it. It's not going to be me doing it. And the second thing, I serve to living God. It was not a dead God like I used to serve, like Allah, Muslim God. This is a living God. He hears us at that very moment. And the third thing I learned that my obedience counts. It doesn't matter how much faith I have, but by obedience, I just said, you know, be healed in Jesus' name. And that obedience matters to God, and he honors that. Sometimes we may not feel like we can move the mountains, but a little prayer of saying, deliver me. Help me with my depression in Jesus' name. It will break the chains because he's real and his name is powerful.
Amen and amen. It reminds me of that scripture, Isaac, that says, his name is the name above all names, and at the name of Jesus, even the demons tremble and believe. So how much more powerful when one of his saints invokes his name, which has all authority and power to break bondages as have been broken in your life. Talk to us in our remaining moments about your ministry, what you're doing today, and what you look toward for the future for Isaac Abla Ministries.
Well, by grace of God, right now, I have TV programs through satellite TV, reach to millions, hundreds of millions of Muslims. I mean, since we gave you the number, now our footprint is about reaching 338 million households, which represents over 700 million Muslims in the world. And right now we have in Arabic, Farsi, Indonesian is in the process, English, Turkish, and Urdu for Pakistan, and we are working on others, dubbing the programs in the different other languages as well. So we have 6-7 language TV programs to reach major Muslim countries in the world. And these are Saudi Arabia, Afghanistan, Egypt, Iran, Iraq, Syria, Turkey, and Pakistan, so many much more other countries. And my goal is to see the Muslim world completely and utterly turn to Jesus Christ, freed and know love of Jesus Christ.
Amen and amen. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to Isaac Abla, author, evangelist, TV host, and producer of the highly acclaimed TV broadcasts Embracing New Life and live call-in program The Way, the Truth, and the Life, heard by millions around the world and here in the United States. You can learn more about Isaac's work, mission, and ministry and get her book, I Dreamed Freedom, by going to Amazon.com or IsaacAbla.com and get involved. Get hope, get help, and get healed. You will be glad you did. Isaac, thank you for sharing your incredible story and the hope that brings to all women everywhere, and especially those in the Middle East. Whom the sun sets free is free indeed. As the scriptures state, you are a beautiful example of this and are helping millions around the world to do just that. Isaac, the freedom you dreamed of and now have became a reality through Jesus Christ, your Lord. Thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for inviting me. God bless you too.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensinebard.com. That's one word, JensineBard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony.